Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Hey, gang. Well, so excited to be back. Bobby and I reset, recharged. We know that it's been about 6 weeks since we last recorded a podcast for you. Of course, that after the McCarthy hire. Quite frankly, we needed a little bit of a break after the big coaching search, but so much to get you updated on. And just a quick programming note, we won't be coming to you as regularly as we do during the season, just by nature of the off season and where our various projects take us. But when we do come to you, we're going to make sure it's fire content. And Bobby, I think we're delivering today.
Yeah, no, today's going to be great. And I think that, you know, just because we're not going to be coming to you as regularly, like Jane said, like, don't think there's going to be any sort of drop off in content. In fact, there may be an increase in it because there's just going to be so much that we have to discuss all at once. And, you know, there may be times where, especially around the draft, when we're around doing things so frequently, we may be able to churn out some more stuff. But either way, we're going to bring you good stuff. And today is going to be really great as we get a chance to talk to Dez Bryant.
Yes, before we get to that, just a couple of things while we've been away. I got to catch you up real quick on one Super Bowl party that I went to.
Oh, yes.
So I got invited to this guy's Super Bowl party. It was over there on Star Island. And I walk in and literally Wyclef Jean is performing.
Oh.
Cardi B ends up showing up late at night because there was sort of this cyclone slash monsoon hurricane situation that happened while we were down in Miami over the weekend. So it's beautiful.
Cardi B is one of your spirit animals, too.
She really is. I was like, oh, God. So she showed up around 3 o'clock in the morning and we were sort of stuck at this house. So imagine this like super modern house on the water with this massive yacht in front of it. Everything you think of when you think of Miami, it gets better. To my right, Cliff Kingsbury and Tom Brady.
Oh.
Right in front of me, we got Danny Amendola. We've got Julian Edelman. Of course, I know Cliff and the crew from our Texas days. Well, we end up, because of the rain, sort of getting stuck at this one table. Well, it's all Tom and Giselle. You'd think I'd be over there being a good reporter and trying to get the scoop on where Tom is going in free agency.
Yeah, you guys won't believe what Giselle had to say to Jane about Bill Belichick. It is something.
Yeah, she didn't say anything to me. But what she did say was I walked up to her and I fangirled like a 12-year-old does because she is even more stunning in person. I said, you are literally the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I mean, she is tiny, she's dancing, and she literally has this Brazilian accent. She goes, oh my gosh, that is so sweet of you. She goes, but I think you are so pretty too. And I literally almost, because I'm shameless.
She doesn't remember anything after that. She blacked out.
Right. I shamelessly almost put my phone in front of her and said, on days I'm having a bad day, can you just record
just
that so I feel better about myself? So that was sort of my, oh my gosh, I've made it moment. It was just like, I can literally never go to a Super Bowl again. And it was awesome. And of course I saw my boy Master from Untold Stories,
yes,
who's done an awesome job with Bleacher Report. So shout out to him from the Dallas area. He was also at the party. So we were like, look at us. We're just two kids from, you know, the Dallas area, and, you know, started at the bottom. Now we're here. So that was cool. Of course, we went to Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Got some nuggets there. Amari Cooper telling me that he wants to stay in Dallas, wants to be here a long time, in fact.
And he's a straight shooter.
He is. I don't think
that's phony. I think he wants to be here. As much as people say, oh, he seems to be a powder or whatever, which is this weird narrative that seems to have started after the season, I think he genuinely likes being here.
100%. But I did think it was curious, Bobby, when I asked him, okay, well, where's the contract situation? And he said he hadn't talked to his agent about it. They'd been talking about other things. So, okay.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott was great. He graced us with his presence on Good Morning Football. He told us that Dak needed to get paid. Of course, that's his hype man. You know, he's sort of a more low-key Mark Ingram. To his Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I did think it was interesting. He talked about talking to Skip Pete and,
yep,
you know, obviously now that Gary Brown is no longer with us, which honestly, if I have to say, like,
no longer with us, not as in died, but just
no longer on the
Cowboys
coaching staff. I got to say that and Rod Marinelli hit me in a different way. So RIP to those guys. And
we had to say goodbye to a lot of people we liked. Cause you obviously had a good relationship with Gary and Marinelli, but just from a kind of a more, you know, I guess
a great staff, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I really liked Kitna when Mark we would Colombo. Get when we get Kitna.
Love Colombo.
Colombo was great.
I did TV with Colombo before he decided that he wanted to go back to the coaching ranks.
Sanjay Lal was always
love
really
Sanjay.
Nice, and so yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer to see how many guys left. We are left with just three assistant coaches are being carried over. It's Leon Lett on defense. He's going to be working with Jim Tomsula, the new defensive line coach, and then on offense, Kellen Moore is staying in place, which seemed to be. Mike McCarthy had his say in this. And so that to me speaks volumes as a guy who does want to be so hands-on with the offense that he thought highly enough to Kellen to keep him here. But then the other one that was staying, and it's a shift in responsibilities, is Doug Nussmeier, the tight ends coach, is shifting to what is his more natural history as quarterbacks coach. And he'll be working with Dak now. And that's a good fit. I know a lot of people had said when it happened, you know, well, he's a tight ends guy. Was that? But quarterback is his background, and if you ask anybody around the team, Dak has a really good relationship with Doug Nussmeier and really likes him. And so overall, I think it was tough to say goodbye to some coaches, but I think the guys that they did keep, I think everybody within the organization are big fans of.
All right, some other things to just chew on here before we get to the main course, which is Dez Bryant, our special guest, as we are here at the Sports Performance Center at Frisco, who has graciously allowed us to spend most of our day here with the podcast. Dak Prescott, two nuggets. That doesn't look like they've made any movement yet on this contract. Mm-mm. The two sides still seem pretty far apart. I was told the Cowboys in staff meetings last year on six occasions said, is Dak our guy?
Who was journaling that and marking down
right?
the six?
He's taking notes. I thought it was interesting because on the one hand, I do think that there's an element here of just doing your due diligence because I was also told by another source that Mike McCarthy thinks that Dak is in fact the guy. And
which
he's
that's
a guy
who knows quarterbacks.
Right. He thinks he's a guy that can make him great because I asked a few weeks ago after I was, you know, entranced by Giselle and I wanted to get her here to Dallas.
After she woke up from her Giselle coma.
Of course. I said, why not go after Tom Brady? If you're going to pay $35, $40 million, why not go and pay Tom Brady that 2 years, draft a quarterback, have him learn behind Tom? If you're going to make wholesale changes around here, do it. And I was told that Mike McCarthy prefers to work with a younger quarterback in this situation in Dallas. So those are a couple of nuggets for you to chew on.
I am curious, you mentioning that and you, maybe it didn't get this specific from who you had spoken with, but when they said that the topic came up of, you know, is Dak our guy? Is this our guy? Do you know if that was said in the more kind of like, I don't know if this is our guy. Is this our guy? Or was it said in sort of a deference, like checking with the staff, like, hey, we're about to pay this guy. Is this our guy? Is this the guy you guys want to work with? What was your sense of that?
Do you remember when we did our podcast a while back about Jerry Jones and how he is, I was told that he'll do everything from polling the man on the street as it applies to his organization. Mm-hmm. I think Jerry is constantly getting input. I think it's no different than Michael Irvin came out with that report a couple of weeks ago that there was this talk about Tom Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little truth and a little cocktails there, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's any different than Jerry polling people. Now, Michael never said it was Jerry that he talked to.
Right. Yeah. And Michael even clarified later, said it wasn't even necessarily somebody within the Cowboys. It was just someone important in the league,
which could have been a Gil Brandt.
Could have been another GM, somebody right. just chatting with him.
But what I would say is I think that Jerry's just always throwing stuff out there to see the temperature.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes him so great as a boss, what makes him so great as a manager. I think that's why this organization has done as well as it has. It's why it's a billion-dollar enterprise, multi-billion-dollar enterprise, is because he's constantly getting the temperature out there. So that's the way I would characterize it, of course, at Combine, is when we sort of go off into these dark alleys and, you know, we are able to ask questions that we wouldn't normally get from the facility. So I've got a lot of questions next week.
So you would say you think those questions, because I think some people may react to that and go, oh, man, they're about ready to move on from Dak. Then you would say that's less about skepticism and more just about literally gauging opinions on things that he may even feel strongly about and he just wants to hear what people have to say.
I think there's an element of that, but I also think there's an element of frustration, as I expressed and reported last season, that his camp, despite, and I've said this, I feel like a dog that's just won't let go of a bone. I was told he asked for his agent, Todd France, in negotiations, asked for that $40 million number. And we've heard that the Cowboys organization seems to sense that there's an element of greed there. Now, I don't know how much I want to weigh into that, honestly. I think you've got to know that you're dealing with the quarterback market, and that's essentially what the market is these days. We're looking at $35, $40 million. for Dak. But I do think it's, I thought it was interesting. The source felt the need to share that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I think it just speaks to the fact that they're polling.
It is interesting.
No different than when they polled the, you know, the captains on this team, whether or not they should keep Dez. Remember that?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, this is an organization that I think more than others maybe does really value the input of players in decisions that they make. They may not let them, it's not inmates running the asylum. I don't want to make it sound like that, but they do value hearing the people who are affected. I think you had talked about this at one point that, you know, the Scott Linehan decision to move on from Scott Linehan, a lot of that was about internal polling and getting the sense of people within the organization. And so that's what that does sound like, honestly, is just, you know, them doing their due diligence and look, we may feel a certain way, but we just want to gauge, what do you guys think? Where are you at here?
Which, as Jerry reminded us, the Mike McCarthy press conference, that they do value the input of their employees, that they don't just make these decisions at the top without input from everybody else. So I thought that was an important distinction that he made at the Mike McCarthy press conference.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, let's just look at the guy that we're about to talk to, Dez Bryant. If Jerry wasn't interested in taking feedback, Dez Bryant probably doesn't get released anyway.
Nope.
Because Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones is a sentimental guy. And
that's,
you know,
his guy.
He believes in redemption.
100%.
And so I do think it's it is funny that there does seem to be this exterior opinion about Jerry and, you know, he kind of rules with an iron fist, but that's really not what we've seen in a lot of the major decisions they've made over the last few years.
Couple of other news and notes. I caught up with Jarvis Landry, who, of course, worked with Adam Henry at both LSU and with Cleveland Browns, mm-hmm. described him as a disciplinarian of sorts, a father figure, was shocked that he was no longer with the Browns. I got a real sense of loss that they weren't going to have him anymore, so I thought that was interesting. And then as for George Edwards, caught up with Harrison Smith with the Vikings, yeah. called him the glue that made that thing go. If you look at that defense, that's a pretty nice compliment from a guy like Harrison Smith about George Edwards. So I think the staff that they've assembled has been an impressive one, so to speak. But again, I haven't really had a chance to get to know these guys, and that's why Combine's going to be so important next week. Combine's switching things up, a lot of stuff going into primetime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Going to be interesting to see how much access most of us reporters get to these guys, but I'll be hitting the ground running, ready to sort of get answers, because there are going to be so many questions this offseason. And even though I said we're not going to be as frequent as we are, I always have to walk that back, because I feel like the Cowboys, there's always going to be news. And of course, when there's news, we're going to find a way to get it to you.
Oh, yeah. And April, there will, you know, Jane and I will be together a lot, because there will be several days in a row probably where we need to be doing things together. And I'm sure there will be new news those days. And we'll go, hey, why don't we just knock it out. So yeah, it's always, this is a fun time. As they say, there really is no off season. It's just another type of season for the NFL.
And while I'm sort of shifting gears and, you know, like I'm filling in on Good Morning Football, March 1st or 2nd and 3rd in New York,
Woo-hoo.
Excited about that. You've also got some other side projects that you're doing. I know you can't get into the teams that you're doing this for, but I think it's fascinating that you are serving as a scout of sorts,
well,
a quasi-scout.
Yeah, I mean, well, more just like, yeah, kind of helping out some facilities and helping out agencies and stuff with just, you know, these guys heading into the draft, when they head into Indianapolis, a lot of the time they're coming from, you know, Baylor or something like that. Waco media is not the same as the media that they're going to run into in Indianapolis. And so a lot of them do like to get mock interviews done and prep. And so that is something that I've been able to do this time around. That's been, you know, a good experience, is just kind of work with prepping some of these guys on what they may get asked and some of the tough questions that might get thrown their way. And
what's the toughest one you've thrown one of their way?
It's hard to say without revealing the exact school it comes from, but you know, basically, I have been able to ask guys directly about failed drug tests and suspensions and things like that.
Okay, but I think sometimes these teams like to mess with the minds of these
kids.
Oh,
yeah. They ask questions sometimes.
They love history of football, right?
They
want to know if these guys are like savants, in other words. Because mm-hmm. we do talk to players. I'm always shocked that tell me, you know, they play football, but they don't really watch football or care
right.
about it, which
yeah.
I think is interesting. I feel sorry. I pity the draft prospect that gets in a room with Mr. Rain Man here, and you just drop all sorts of sports knowledge on them to see if they know anything about the game.
No, I've been impressed with just about everybody I've spoken with so far, and they all seem, this has been a really sharp group, actually. But, you know, there are some guys there. They're still green in a lot of ways, and they're not savvy yet. And so this is a good experience for them that they can kind of get used to. Oh, that's, you don't see, even if that's the answer you give, let's say it in a different way. That's not a, that doesn't sound like a good way. And it's not out of any sort of, you know, disagreeable nature. It's just they're not experienced at that tightrope and how things can get taken out of context really easily.
And look, I'm going to let you shine here in the off season, because what I do during the season is, you know, I dig, I ask questions, talk to a lot of people. Where you just really excel is this deep dive into the college world and the draft prospects and talking to a lot of these agents. So we're going to be able to put you on a pedestal here in this offseason and let you shine. And unfortunately, because we've sort of taken a hiatus and we have such a big guest today, we're not going to be able to do that. But I am looking forward to that. Why don't we just go ahead and get to the entree that is Dez Bryant. Well, I'm super excited to be sitting down with one of my favorite guys that played for the Dallas Cowboys. You sort of are the heartbeat of the Dallas Cowboys organization. Even now, you're here at the workout at the Sports Performance Center at Frisco, and there are literally fans outside. There's some young guys just waiting for you to sign swag. People walking by, all these young college guys. You need no introduction. I got Dez Bryant here with me, as well as your wide receivers coach, D-Rob. Holding it down in the lab. Of course, you had Corey Coleman up here as well, Lil Jordan Humphrey, but we want to focus on you, Dez. For a lot of people that have been following your videos, you know, there's been mixed emotions. Some people say, looking a little slow still, maybe your time has passed. What's your message to them?
You know, my message is this right here. Like, first and foremost, I've never been a speed guy, so I just blocked that out. I've been running routes. My routes has improved tremendously thanks to this guy over here, especially getting in and out of my breaks. You know, I used to rely on pure ability, which I still have. I really blocked that out. I know I could play this game. I'm really not worrying about nobody who never played this game. And, you know, for the people who still in this game, seeing my workouts, giving me their feedback, that's the only thing that matters to me. You know, when I got guys like Earl Thomas come in on my stuff, getting messages from Patrick Peterson. Those are elite DB guys. You know, that's the only thing that matters to me. So, you know, I'm going to continue to keep grinding. You know, I got my head down. I'm not expecting anything. I'm just going to work and see where it takes me.
Dez, I was there for you 4 hours after you got cut from the Cowboys. That was an emotional day. And then I was there when you got signed with the New Orleans Saints. 2 days later, you turn up on a route. The Achilles injured, awful. Because as you and I joked, I felt like I was dropping you off at school and you'd found new classmates and you were like ready to rock. How are you different now than you were back then mentally?
Well, mentally, I felt like I had a lot of mixed emotions. You know, I had just been recently cut from the Cowboys. I wasn't really trying to play football that year, but I'm going to save that for another time. I just wasn't where I needed to be mentally, and I appreciate Coach Payton for bringing me in, believing in me, and I appreciate those guys, you know, that was there, because they brought me in, they showed me crazy love, you know, something I never forget. The best 48 hours of my life is up there. I never forget that, you know, and having that in the back of my head, that's another reason why I wanted to continue to keep grinding. But I wanted to take my time, you know, so I can focus, really get my mind right, really understand where I'm at in life. And, you know, just get my priorities in check. And I feel like I've done that, and I'm doing it now. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm just grinding, you know, and I'm looking to play ball this year.
Dez, you know, I know you've said on social media and stuff that you didn't want the Dez from 2 years ago. Right. Like, regardless of what teams think, you know, you didn't want that Dez.
Right.
Do you think that teams will want this Dez?
Of course. You know, it'd be crazy if they didn't. You know, like I said, I want to play football. These past couple of years, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to play football, you know, not because I didn't love it. It was just more so of me having a healthy brain, healthy around me, making sure I got all the love that I need around me. And, you know, I need to sit back and watch the game. I need to sit back and, you know, look at the guys, you know, I just need to see the game and, you know, just watch it from the outside. And I did. The love came back. I had this guy, D-Rob, you know, stand on me constantly about, come on, man, you still got it. You still got it, you know. And, you know, just hearing it from guys who believe in me, like, you know what, hell with it. You know, I'm with it. Let's go. You know, and that attitude came back and that fire and desire. You know, so, you know, I'm here. I'm looking to see what I can do.
So, Rob, you think Dez still got it?
Oh, definitely. I train a lot of elite receivers who are A-plus years in the NFL, and he moves just as well as those guys right now, especially coming off of his Achilles injury. When you saw him moving for a while back on the videos, of course, he wasn't that far removed from his surgery and things like that, so, of course, he was going to be running with a little limp. But right now that he's back healthy, he's doing everything that he needs to do off the field, the rehab, the maintenance, the therapy on his body to keep him moving efficiently, so he looks 10 times better.
Dez, I don't want this to be a PR stunt. I've always kept it real with you, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to coddle you when I ask you some of these questions. Uh-huh. You know, one of the knocks I think has been, you know, some of the social media stuff, right?
Right.
You know, right after, you know, we had our sit down, you talked about the Garrett guys.
Yep.
And then we're there at training camp, mm-hmm. and you name checked some of them. Do you regret that? Because I felt like there were some people within the Cowboys community, but also teammates, right. that you soured with them because of all of that.
Well, I say this. I think it was an emotional time, and for guys who know me, and a lot of those guys, you know, who know me inside that locker room, you know, I am an emotional guy, you know. But it's all for love. You know, I really don't mean no harm, you know. But you know, I just like to speak my piece, and you know, from my honest view, you know, there's no bad blood with none of those guys. You know, I still love those guys. Wish those guys the best. Like I said, I root for those guys these past 2 years. You know, you know who I'm rooting for. You know, Sean Lee, he knows that. And any other guy that, you know, well, I ain't really have problems with anybody on the team, really. At least I didn't know. But I feel like it's good. You know, I still take these guys from here and there. Dak, I talk to Zeke from here and there. Talk to Amari some. Didn't play with Amari, but me and Amari – text, we play Madden together. I talk to Gallup whenever he's out and about, and if I see him around, it's always good times and good vibes, you know. I don't think that's never going to change, you know. My heart is here, regardless wherever I go and play. You know, it's all love. I don't have no problem with anybody.
That's an important distinction. Do you think that you hurt yourself at all when you were released from the Cowboys by putting it out there that you – we're still hung up on the Cowboys, that there were only certain teams that you want to play for? Do you have any regrets turning down the Ravens, the Browns?
Well, I would say this. I don't want to necessarily say I turned down Baltimore or Cleveland. You know, it was a good reason why I didn't want to play ball. You know, like I said, I wasn't mentally there. You know, and Coach Payton, he was on me more than – he was really coming at me more than – those other teams. So I'm like, man, hell with it. You know, he giving me that opportunity to get myself together. He wasn't just going to throw me into the fire, you know. So, and he kept it real with me. So I think it was a no-brainer, you know, for me just to even attempt to try it. So that's what I did. You know, so I don't want to say I turned down the Ravens. I would have took that deal in no time if my brain was there. You know, I would have went with Cleveland in no time if my brain was there, but it wasn't. So, you know, I didn't want to disrespect the game, and I didn't want to disrespect myself. That's just who I am. That's just who I am as a person.
What have you done to get your mind right?
You know, be around my family. You know, be around the people who love me. Focus on my projects, you know, the things that I'm working on. You know, focusing on the things that I can control. You know, just reflecting back on a whole bunch of stuff. You know, like I said, I honestly felt like by me being away from the game helped me in a sense, you know, and – you know, I took everything in. I feel like I'm where I need to be. I think things happen for a reason, and I'm going to go with that.
Dez, you know, when you talk about this comeback and the work you've been putting in with D-Rob, and everybody wants to see that because, you know, like you said, you were somebody who's getting by so much on your athleticism, and maybe they see you putting in the work now, and they go, yeah, but Dez, you're 31. You're coming off an Achilles.
Right.
We'd still like to see that athletic ability. I know you've started working with Bobby Stroop over at APEC, who's been really instrumental in the way Patrick Mahomes has come along. I guess talk a little bit about, you know, what you're hoping to accomplish with that work with APEC and how those workouts have been going.
I tell you this, Bobby Bobby is tremendous. I think he's exactly what I need, just like D-Rob. You know, Bobby is – he's one of those – it reminds me of college and back when I was in high school. You know, like I can hear Coach Glass' voice. I can hear Bobby's voice. You know, Bobby in tune to what he do. Like, he's going to bring the best out of you. He's going to make you feel like doing it when you don't want to do it. You need those type of guys around you, and that's Bobby. You know, he care about his guys, you know, and he tell his guys the truth, and that's what I like. You know, the truth puts you on your heels at all times, and I think that's what I'm used to, and that's why it's so easy for me to, you know, gravitate to Bobby. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing Bobby tomorrow and getting some work in with him.
Now, Rob, I know you said Dez has still got it, and he's still got that ability. But, you know, when you're out here and you're working, you guys are talking all the time, and, you know, you're taking in things from him, and you guys are figuring out the best way to run these routes and everything. Where do you still think Dez needs to improve on this way back? Where would you isolate somewhere as, like, this is what something we're still really trying to tighten up?
Well, I would just say just the top end of his routes, just the top end of his curls, comebacks, and his arms, and just keeping his foot up under him on his speed cuts and his speed outs. Those are the things that I see he can improve on. But he's gotten tremendously better coming off of the ball, and he's gotten better bringing his arms with him at the top of his routes. He looks more smooth and fluent. So it's there. It's coming. Right now we're about like 80% where we need to be.
So if you know, you have a lot of connections with receivers and coaches around the NFL, and if one of these teams was considering Dez and they said, you know, hey, Rob, we really want to consider talking to Dez or want to look at bringing him in. Give us your assessment of where you think he's at right now. Where would you, if you were giving them an honest assessment of where you think Dez is at in the comeback trail, what would you say to them?
Well, I'll tell him, Coach, I mean, he's in a lot better shape. He's about 80-90% where he needs to be. He's a great team guy. He'll be a great receiver to have in the room to show the young guys the ropes, teach them how to be a professional, teach them how to win on certain scenarios in their route running. So I definitely think that he'll be an asset brought in on any team that brings him in, because he adds that experience value along with the passion and the energy and the heart that he has at playing a position. And I think he'll turn that whole receiver room into a war zone, because everybody will, you know, be ready to attack and play like how they need to play.
All right, let's talk about some of the other knocks, Dez, because I talked to GMs around the league. I talked to coaches. One of the things was being on time. And that's important when you've got young guys in a room. They're right. Trying to build up the next crop of young wide receivers. They look to the veterans. Showing up to the physical therapy treatments was another knock on you.
Right.
And just putting in the work on your body.
Right.
Are those things that you're prepared to do for the next team and that you've now realized the value of?
Of course. Of course. You know, like a lot of those things that you mentioned, I think that's a lot of things that was in the beginning of my career. And right now it's like, I got to do it, you know, like, I got to do it to get back right. You know, nobody's paying me to do this. I have to do this. You know, I'm getting up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, getting my mind right to go see Bobby. I got to go drive 35 minutes to Fort Worth to go to APEC. I have to do those things. I'm not getting paid for that. So I think that's the easy part. You know, like I said, I'm just getting myself back into the flow, getting my mind back right, and I'm looking forward to make plays because I know I still can.
It's funny to me because I know you pretty well at this point now, Dez, and a lot of people that sort of shrug off this idea of you coming back, I feel like need to go read that Rolling Stones article that was done on you a while back,
right,
where it talked about your childhood and what you came from. And you and I talked about that when we sat down after you got cut, that you came from the dirt.
Right.
When people look at this comeback as sort of improbable, maybe walk through how improbable your childhood was to even get where you're at, where what I was saying earlier, you still 2 years removed from this league have fans literally lining up outside waiting for you to sign a helmet. Fans still throw up the X. It's iconic in a sense for a kid that came from Lufkin and as you said, really had nothing growing up.
Right. It's the raw, it's the passion. You know, I walk a lot of people's shoes, you know, and I be me, and I think just by being me, you know, that give a lot of people hope. They're like, man, he can do it, I can do it, you know, regardless of whatever the situation is. And that's just one thing that I want to give people. I made mistakes. I'm not perfect, you know, and I don't mind showing that. And I think and it's all about the bounce back. And when people see that, you know, they attach on to it. And like I said, I want to give who I am. I don't want to give anything false. You know, if I fail, I fail. Hey, look, we tried, but that don't mean that I'm, you know, it's over. You know, and that's just the attitude that I'm gonna forever have, and it's just gonna remain the same.
Do you feel like you were pretty misunderstood when you're in the league, Des?
I always felt that way.
Why?
I can't explain why. You know, I can't explain why I was misunderstood. But I know for the guys who know me, for the guys who be around me, they know what type of guy that I am. You know, it's so much stuff that I can say without a dumb for guys, but that's just not me. You know, and you know, I just don't feel comfortable. It's from my heart. Everything is from my heart. You know, it's like I like to see guys. You know, I like to help guys be in a position so they can be their best. And I always been that way. You know, and like I remember my rookie year with the Hayes and stuff. I never been a fan of it.
That was Roy Williams.
Yeah, Roy Williams. You know, but I tell you this, he reached out to me too a couple of years back, and he told me he was proud of me. That meant everything to me, you know, and because I'm assuming that, you know, he kind of understood, you know, who I am and, you know, where I come from. You know, but it's just one of those things. When I go through bad experiences and things I don't like, I'm flipping it. That's my whole goal, is to flip it, to make sure other guys don't go through it. Like when we would bring rookies in when I played for the Cowboys, I don't need you guys to walk on eggshells. I need you guys to come in here and be the best. I need you to have that same mentality that you had when you was that third year, fourth year guy there. Like, yeah, I understand, respect the older guys, respect the coaches, of course, forever do that. But when you step in between those lines, I need that energy. I need that fire. I need to see who you are. I want to know what you're about, you know, and that's always been my attitude. Like, I'm no different from you. I don't care how long I've been here. I'm no different from you. You can teach me something and I can teach you something. That's just always been my attitude, you know, when it came, you know, whenever I'm inside of that locker room. You know, it's just who I am, regardless of the position.
To that end, so many young kids and grown adults throw up the X. I don't think a lot of people realize where that came from.
Right.
So for our listeners that aren't familiar with what the X means, it's actually symbolic of something for you that's important and something that we're sort of talking about here in this podcast.
Right. It's really basically, it's Xing out all of the negative. You know, just focusing, being laser focused, and knowing that, you know, you shouldn't let other people's opinions weigh on you. You know, because we do. We all have different brains, and God gave us that for a reason. You know, and it's just, that's the meaning that I put behind it. But I did throw up the X because of Dante Hall. I just wanted to put my own meaning behind it. You know, man, hey, look, I get a lot of crap, but I know who I am as a person. I'm going to X this out, and I'm going to stay laser focused. And I'm going to, like, my biggest goal is to be me, not change who I am, but just continue to keep being me and let people see who I am, you know, for themselves.
You know, Des, I know you're a big Facebook guy. You, yep. You like that because you like the ability to interact with the people. It's yep. Like your little community. I know you've said that before. There was a video back when you were at the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. It was a video stream, and somebody had asked something in the comment section. You said, I'm going to tell you this right now. He said, you guys can tell the whole world, the day I'm done playing for Dallas is the day I'm done playing football.
Right.
And I know you said you were in a bad headspace after the release from Dallas. Do you still think that's true, or are you still so committed to it? This has got to be Dallas for the comeback, or are you happy to go elsewhere now?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to keep it all the way honest and blunt. You know, I would love to have that opportunity just because it's not so much of, oh, I just want to play for Dallas. No, I understand. I see what they have. You know, I see the talent that they have. They have Amari Cooper. They have Michael Gallup. They have Cobb. They have Dak. They have Zeke. They have Pollard. They have a loaded offense. They have Jarwin. And it's like, I'm like, man, I ain't really never been able to play with that much talent. Like, throughout my whole career, if you see it, I used to get double. I used to get an extra guy over the top. And I can only think of, man, you know, not to be selfish, but I know if I got placed in a position like that, I would do some damage. I would do some damage, and I know it would help open up a whole bunch of things with, you know, creating different certain type of packages. That's a dream, you know. That's a dream. Will it happen? I don't know. We don't know. But where I'm at right now, you know, my daughter asked me, Daddy, you going to play football again? That's what really clicked. You know, like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to play ball. You know, so You know, if it's not for Dallas, you know, Cowboy fans, hey, I want to play ball. So I'm going to see where I'm, you know, I'm going to see who opened the doors for me. And I'm just trying to, you know, come in and do whatever they tell me to do, be the best version that I can, help in any type of way. If that's me, you know, giving water to the quarterbacks, you know, to the running backs, you know, telling the other receivers, you know, certain things, you know, I don't mind. You know, I'm just, I miss the game.
That's how hungry you are?
Yeah.
Let's, you've talked about, and we've heard reports that you've reached out to Stephen Jones.
Yep.
First, I want to know how that conversation went. Mm-hmm. Second of all, if Stephen said, because we know he could be a shrewd businessman.
Yeah.
All right, Dez. I'm going to bring you in here for about as cheap as I can go.
Yeah.
Does Dez Bryant do that? Your agent's going to hate me.
Look. I know it wouldn't be what I would want, but I think it would be worth it. You know, I think it would be worth it because I think those guys have a real shot at going to the Super Bowl. I truly believe that. Like, I'm not just saying that, you know, how everybody say Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. No, they really have a legit chance to do that. You know, and it's just, that's what I see. I know game. I know the game of football. Like, I know the vibe. I know the vibes, you know, and I feel like I can help increase that vibe, you know. So
you texted Steven, how'd it go?
It went better than I thought.
You weren't blocked?
No, I wasn't blocked. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, I texted him and I spoke my mind. I just basically just told him, you know, where I'm at in my life, you know, how I'm feeling. You know, I had time to reflect and all that stuff. Me knowing Mr. Jones, Stephen Jones, it'll be like, hey, Dez, you know, I hope the best, but we'll be going in a different direction. He didn't say those words to me, so that made
me. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I took that and I ran with it. So, you know, it's like that also, you know, increased the, you know, the workout. Like, hey, we're going to get it, D. Like, right. Let's get it, you know. They got to see this. it's that attitude, you know. But, you know, like I said, but for the most part, man, the conversation went very well, you know. It wasn't long, but. It wasn't like him. That's not the Steven that I, you know.
I keep stepping on Bobby's toes, but I've got so much to ask you. Yeah. I'll let Bobby weigh in here after this question.
Yeah.
Garrett and the regime are gone. You've got a new regime of Mike McCarthy and his staff. Mm-hmm. Do you think a change would be good for you? And do you think that you need more of a disciplinarian-type coach to keep you in line and get you at practice on time, find you when you're not at physical therapy? Do you need some boundaries?
I honestly.
I know you're a grown man.
The practice on time thing, I honestly don't know where that came from, really. But we'll save that for another time. But yeah, of course. Of course. Like, for the most part, when people say that, you know, me speaking negative on Coach Garrett, it's really not that. It's just I feel that I know the game of football. I know the vibe that you're supposed to have when you're supposed to be playing this game. When you're playing this game. And, you know, I leave it at that, you know, about Coach Garrett because I really don't want to speak much on him because I don't want to feel like I'm speaking negative.
And you guys cleared things up too, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, it's just, you know, just the new look. Just me knowing Coach McCarthy, you know, over the years, watching him, how he's done things with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, how he loves to, you know, how he liked to run his offense. Kind of similar, it's different, but kind of similar to the Andy Reid type. You know, he's like, he liked the wideouts out there, you know. So, I just feel like he can create something for me, you know.
And he did say Dez caught it.
Yeah, he did say that.
He finally acknowledged that.
Right. So, you know, that instantly made him a real win in my eyes. So, you know, so.
Well, yeah. you were one of the last. I mean, there was the negotiation with DeMarcus Lawrence, but you were one of the last real, like, franchise tag standoff guys that the Cowboys had. And there's, I think, some concern or some uneasiness in Cowboys Nation right now about they're going to franchise Dak and they're going to be too far apart. This is going to get contentious. Everybody always likes to hear from you in general, your thoughts on things with the Cowboys. So what do you think about the idea of getting Dak locked up long term?
My opinion. You have to lock Dak up. You know, Dak, he got these things that you can't teach. You know, and a lot of people don't have it. You know, he's real great with the guys in the locker room. Like, that stuff is contagious, you know, and a lot of guys don't have that. I'm just going to be honest. He's a great football player, excellent football player. I watched Dak improve each and every year, you know, and, you know, I remember before he came in, Will McClay can tell you this himself. I still had text messages. First thing I texted him was when we had drafted Dak at the time, he was a winner. You know, because when I watched him at Mississippi State, who the hell heard of Mississippi State?
You know, the disrespect for Mike Leach and that SEC program for next year.
I was like, damn, this guy real good. I had watched him play against LSU, and I was like, man, hey, he the real deal. You know, I didn't even think that, you know, that was even a thought of drafting him. That was the crazy part about it. And when he had came, y'all, I was like, yeah. I could just tell. You could just tell. His chest high, his head high. You know, he's not trying to be something that he's not. You know, that's who he is as a person, and I think that's what I loved about him. You know, and when you like that, God's gonna naturally follow him. I'm a lot older than him, but I'm like, yeah, I can follow behind that guy.
Well, and see, that's the interesting thing, because you were there for. Of course, a lot of your career, there were injury issues with Tony Romo, so there were always backup quarterbacks stepping in and having to do things. You know, Kyle Orton and Brandon Weeden, Matt Castle, you play with all those guys. Mm-hmm. And not to try and put them down at all, that's not the comparison, but how was it different that year? When Dak stepped in, why was the energy different that year compared to other guys when they tried to step in, other than just the talent?
Well, I think because of – I think Dak and Zeke – had that natural raw connection already. I think that played a part too, you know, and it was a lot of new guys and, you know, and they knew Dak, you know, so, and I think that had a lot to do with it too. So, you know, and then at the time that's what worked. You had to stay with it, you know, nothing towards Romo, because Romo, he was excellent in his way. And Dak is excellent in his way. Either way would have worked. So, you know, and well, you can't go wrong.
Now, and I am just curious, because this is the raging debate on social media right now. Yeah. So Kevin Sherrington from the Dallas Morning News had polled Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg, and Gil Brandt and said, give me your top five Cowboys quarterbacks of all time. All of them, I believe, put Dak ahead of Tony. And so now it's become this kind of raging debate of, you know, who's legacy is becoming stronger. Obviously, a lot of it's projection with Dak because he's so early. Yeah. So if somebody was going to say, Des, we need you to weigh in here on
you're trying to get him just to walk into a trap here.
He can answer.
I'm going to give you my honest opinion, and I'm going to go year for year.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you really can't compare it, because Dak ain't played as long as Tony. Mm-hmm. But if you go year for year, yeah, you would have to say Dak. Look what Dak has done. Shit, my bad, but
no, you're good.
two out of 3 years, he's been to the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, and you just got to give that to him. You know, and look at his win lose ratio. You know, he's won way more games than he didn't lost.
You don't have to tell me. I'm the president of the Dak
Prescott
fan club.
He really is
club.
The president of the Dak Prescott fan club. He's an unofficial president.
I lead the charge there.
All right, I've got to ask you this then, since Bobby touched on it. You got yourself in a sort of contentious contract negotiations with the Jones family, and I can't imagine that they're the easiest to go against, because you've got the public sentiment. It is the Cowboys. We're talking about it ad nauseum. People are now saying Dak Prescott is greedy. Why not worry about your teammates? You got to get, you know, Amari paid, Byron Jones. You know, you've got all these free agents. Describe what it was like going through your contract negotiation and how you shut out everybody. Granted, you had Rock Nation negating that one, which helped. He's got Todd Friends.
How did I shut it out? That's the question. You know, it was tough. You know, it was real tough, because, you know, I spent all these years with the Cowboys, and I'm like, man, you know, what's the hold up? I'm like, they know what I'm about, you know, and hearing all these things that, you know, I didn't hear before, it kind of bothered me a little bit. Now, I'm not realizing, oh, this is the business, you know. And, you know, my message to Dak is, you know, like, just block out all the other stuff. Is it going to get done? it's going to get done, and don't worry, you are the guy. You know, you got to know that first and foremost. He is the guy. You know, who I wouldn't replace him. I'm just being honest. Yeah. Who are you going to replace him with? You know, it's one of those things that you don't want to mess up. He got the potential to bring you several Super Bowls just because he's that type of guy. And, you know, like I said, you know, I pray that, you know, Mr. Jones, the whole entire Jones family, understand that. Know that he's, hey, that's what you want. That's what you want leading your franchise. It's not every day you're going to pull up on a Dak Prescott. It's not every day. You know, first round, second round, that stuff don't mean nothing. Don't get caught up in that. He got something that can't be coached. And, you know, I'm not just shooting smoke.
And look at DeMarcus Lawrence and Zeke, how contentious those things got. And they both got paid.
Yeah.
You got paid.
Yeah.
People are going to get paid.
In the end, it'll get done.
Right.
Now I know we've sat here and you've talked a lot and made reference to it, and you've patted Rob on the shoulder here and said, this guy right here next to it. Yep. Just in general, I guess, expand on what Rob's coaching has meant to you the last year and a half and in general, because, I mean, it's one of those things where you always hear when you talk about a veteran or what makes a veteran good, one of the go-to lines football players always right. have is he's seen a lot of football, right. So he knows a lot of football. So you'd seen a lot of football, but it seems like you've learned a lot even coming to Rob as a guy who's seen right. a lot of football.
I've learned a lot. I say this about Coach Rob. I'm not saying this because he's here. I didn't say this away from, you know, when he wasn't around me. Like, he's really, like, put a whole different perspective on the game for me. Like, just basically, like, just repetition and paying attention to the small things. Things that I wouldn't even think about. Like, he's a big reason of the fire that I got. He's a big reason. He brought my confidence back. And I talk, you know, we joke around and, you know, we – last time we left out of here, I say, look, when I win this comeback player of the year, hey, you're going to be right there.
Yeah.
I told you that, right?
You did.
And I mean that because I just feel I feel like, you know, I would have been let it go if it wasn't for him. That's how I'm just going to shoot it straight. You know, I'm excited. Hey, he'll tell you, I hit him up, D. Hey, what time are we going? You know, yeah, it used to be the other way around.
It used to be the other way around. You're right.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited to listen to him. You know, like, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Like I said, you know, he's a route guru. So, you know, he's everything. You know, whenever I get on the team, first game, he has to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's that type of feel, it's that type of vibe. You know, he make me want it. You know, he a big reason for me being this way.
And, you know, it's thinking back to something. I know earlier you were talking about teammates and the locker room chemistry, and you were seeming kind of romanticizing it a little bit. We all saw that viral clip from the All or Nothing where you and Jordan Lewis kind of went head to head. It was a little contentious, but I know you guys looked back fondly on it when it was. Is that what you miss most about the game? The juice
and those
type of moments?
That's
moments?
Not the first time me and Jordan went at it.
I can imagine. We've all heard Jordan talk.
I can imagine.
But when Jordan was a rookie, like, and Coach Garrett was sitting there, a lot of coaches were sitting there. And I remember I had beat him on a slot fade. And we was getting ready to run another play. I forgot who – I want to say it was Byron who stepped in front of me. Jordan moved Byron out of the way, and he was like, nah, I want him. I instantly fell in love with him. I did. I instantly fell in love with him because I was like, that's what we need. This is what we're missing on the defensive side of the ball. And I used to always step on the table for him. Jordan needed to play. I don't know why Jordan not playing. Like, the practice stuff, that don't bother me. Yeah, we're going to get into it in practice. We're going to fight in practice. Like, but I know when game time comes Sunday, hey, let's get this shit.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, you know, it's that type
it's
of
guy you can go to war with.
Right, exactly.
Go to war, bring you closer. You know, it was those things. Like, still to this day, you know, I'll talk to Jordan from here and there. Like, I forgot this little facility that I was going to right around the corner from here. Some of the guys go there and – I was talking to Jordan, just let them know how proud I am. When they played the Chicago Bears and that interception that he had got on the sideline, I was like, they should have been playing him. I'm literally sitting on my couch and I'm like, they should have been playing him, you know, because this is the type of guy that he is. And this scoop and score against the Giants, you know, he just had that knack for the ball. You know, the interception against the Saints, you know, to seal the game up. Like, I just gravitate to those kind of players. I can recall, like, and there's only a few players that I do that with. Mm-hmm. Jordan, he's a ball player. I love ball players. You know, he's a dog for the game.
I got to tell you, it's hard listening to you talk about your passion for the game because I sat down with Tony Romo at Super Bowl, and he's just as passionate. And I think about DeMarco Murray when I talk to him, how to not see you guys, Jason Witten, throw him in there, to not be able to get something done. How hard is it for you to do these workouts a block away from the star, to be this close to Jerry and Steven and not go knock on their office, to not go to the stadium and go to these games? Mike McCarthy said it, I thought, very interestingly when he took away from football, and he said, I needed football. We needed football, talking about his family. Does that resonate with you?
Of course. Of course. Exactly right now at this point. You know, at one point in time, like I said, you just need that time to sit back and reflect. Like, you don't know what you're missing until it's gone. You know what I'm saying? And me being 31, people want to be like, oh, you know, that's old, man. This guy's still doing it in the league. 32, 33, 34 playing wide receiver. And, you know, I'm like, man, I'm not that, you know, I'm right there. You know, I'm still in between a little bit. You know, like if I was 33 or something, I would be like,
Look at Adrian Peterson playing one of the toughest positions in the league.
He's 35.
Right.
Yeah.
Or look at Richard Sherman coming back, having an all-pro year in his 30s off an Achilles.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's – and I tell you this, just one thing that I learned to focus on too. You know, like, you know how it is with negative stuff. That's going to get the most highlight. That's going to get the most shine, the most bright, you know. But what I've learned to do is just, man, I'm going to stay focused on this positive. Like, do you really see, like, it's like God talking to me. Look at all of these thousands of positive comments. You just going to point out that one negative and let that make you feel right. Some type of way. No, we're going to scratch that. These people believe in me. So you know what? I'm going to believe in me just as much as they believe in me. And I'm going to keep on rocking. So that's the attitude.
I love that, Dez. Dez, thank you so much for sitting down with us. I know it's been a while. I always feel like when we can sit down, sometimes I feel like people can sort of see that side of you that doesn't always get projected. You know, social media isn't always our friend.
Right.
But I think the people that do know you, to your point earlier, they know what you're about. Having been your friend and covered you, I've seen a change in you. So I want this for you. I hope this works out for you. And we'll keep following your workouts. And I know your fans are anxious to see where you end up.
I appreciate it.
D-Rob.
Thank you, Jane.
You the man. We always appreciate you allowing us into your workouts. And you keep cranking out some of these boys in the league, okay?
Okay.
Man, he deserves the NFL job, too, by the way. I'm kind of selfish because, you know, if he do that, then it's going to be tough.
Right. You ain't got access to him.
Because then that'll get you on that'll for sure get you on the roster because then Rob's calling the shots.
Right. All right. Thanks, guys, for your patience and, of course, for the fact that you guys subscribe and care about what we're doing around here. We promise to deliver more fire content as it applies to the Cowboys. With 24 free agents, that Dak contract, Amari Cooper, Byron Jones, Jason Witten, Sean Lee, to talk about in the offseason. We'll have plenty of stuff. See you next time.